we don't hear anything about the swine flu anymore. Is there anything going on with that silence?
Yeah, pigs have just ceased to fly.
Didn't they warn a lot of people be dying?
Of course. We started from day one saying, you certainly can. You can die of the H1N1. You can die of the bird flu and the pig flu and the dog flu and the jackass flu. And you can die of lots of things flying. You can die of flying yourself. Remember, you used to catch that in the airplane when people flew.
So the swine flu is not on the major news right now. Is that because millions are dying and they don't want to talk about it?
Nobody's dying. They're saying it's silly.
The head of the World Health, there was some woman.
Who?
Yeah, who? The head of who was a woman who was saying, we got to do this and get vaccinations. Is she feeling any confusion about the matter right now?
No, she's so excited that they were able to peddle so much of the vaccination, that so much contrast was given to this thing, that so many people embraced it, that they had enough contrast that they don't have to experience it. So they averted a crisis. Thank goodness they were so proactive in making the vaccinations unavailable.
Well, a lot of people get vaccinated, right?
Many. Every day they were giving the schematics of 1,000. They have 1,000 doses so-and-so. They have 500 doses so-and-so. They have the inhalable live virus, but they don't have the injectable dead virus, or vice versa. You're talking about little dribs of numbers, and you're talking about millions and millions of people. Many people didn't get vaccination because they didn't have enough vaccinations to give.
And you, and that woman, the main spokesman in the States, maybe it was Napolitano, this is Napolitano, not sure, she believes that the vaccination program stopped the swine flu.
Or doesn't care.
Why wouldn't she care?
Why should she? She gets paid the same if everybody on the planet died of it.
Why is getting paid a matter in her mind?
Why would she make the announcement otherwise? It was her job.
Why did she agree to having a job?
Why do you agree to not have a job?
Because I follow the true path of slack.
Very good. That's why it offends those in alternate slack. They're offended by that.
So she's following her path of joy, which is to have a job.
See, when you get to this place, Adolf Hitler's not a bad guy. You don't have time to be bothered to even fool with having problems with someone that you don't agree with.
But if we had Jewish listeners or the ADL listening to this, they would be upset at what we're saying.
You know, it's kind of funny that in your Kennedy Awards tonight, it's pretty well known that Mel Brooks is of Jewish descent.
Yeah.
His mother was Jewish. Well, you can't get more Jewish than having a Jewish mother.
And,
well, he's from the right tribe. He's made it in entertainment in a whole nine yards. Did a whole big blurb. That's what brought in the whole Hitler process with playing with his movies, you know, the history of the world. There you go. Why in the world would they bring that up? Well, because it was great. It was funny, and he did it, so Jews don't push even against that.
No, no, it's okay if you're Jewish. Now, if a non-Jew does it, they get very upset.
Oh, well, it's okay if physical does it, but if non-physical does it, then you're screwed. Yeah, we get it now.
I don't think you would like to say that to the cash flow audience or to Evan's show about how, well, you could say you have no problem, but we would have to distance ourselves from that statement, right? That you had no problem with Hitler. We could understand.
We don't.
I know you don't.
Ask us on one of those shows and see what we say.
Yeah, well, then J.W. might get in trouble because people think he's saying it.
Whatever.
Whatever. J.W. I know, that's the problem. You're not concerned about what happens to J.W.
No.
Because some people wouldn't believe that you were non-physical.
Then they're going to have problems with lots of things.
Then J.W. will have a problem with them.
No, he wouldn't. He's finding a way to relax and allow. He's finding a way not to rub his meat box and be thankful that it's not going to give him cancer. Oh, wait, if he does that, he'll activate it. Wait a minute, go slow. You see, you just go easy with the whole process. Things are, and the only reason they are is because you allowed it.
Well, if J.W. said it in a meeting with people, Jewish people in the audience, in the physical, there'd be a bit of anger. They would think it was J.W. saying it.
Depending on the context in which the words were being said. He would try to be genteel. He wouldn't call them a nigger-loving Jew, because that would be typically offensive. But not at a Ku Klux Klan rally. So now you've got to define your spoken words to your receiving audience.
You got to define who your audience is.
Well, your spoken word has to line up with your audience. You start talking about the Jews to a Christian collection, and they have problems with that.
And talk about Jews.
And in the Jewish world, you start talking about how wonderful Jesus is. They're not going to have that.
Yeah, they might tolerate it, just like the Christians.
Not so much.
Whereas the Christians do not like people talking about the Jews. They support the Jews by not having people talk about them.
But just because their Messiah was Jewish, and that's about as far as it goes. In a Christian place, Jews are an abomination.
So you mean Christians don't like discussing the Jews?
They do not.
So not that they think the Jews are subjected to too much stuff. They don't like talking about Jews because Jews are verboten. They're an abomination. They don't want to deal with them. They don't want to think about them.
Even though their own Messiah was Jewish, he wasn't Christian. Christ was not Christian.
So tomorrow there'll be scientists going into labs all over the world for different businesses, corporations, and government agencies, and they will be thinking about DNA or about this or that, you know, their scientific archive of knowledge, and they'll be working on a problem.
Well, we've opened it up now. Now they'll be investigating White Westinghouse and Maytag for the refrigerated air. And seeing how that causes cancer, because non-physical said it did, so it must. So, refrigeroma, and folks will be dying of it, and they'll outlaw refrigerated air.
That's not the issue. The scientists will go in and be investigating whatever scientists investigate. It's built up in an archive of knowledge.
What is an archive of knowledge? What is that?
That's the data that they use, the language. Like kids,
Hold on.
The kids will go to universities. They'll be being taught physics and chemistry and biology when they're sober. And learn
the theory of relativity, which isn't very relative. Good.
Why are kids drinking so much on campus?
Why not? What they're getting otherwise isn't working. They've got to find a way to relax and allow, and that works as good as any.
Gives so much tension in the...
Tension, it's foolishness, and their non-physical says, this is bullshit. I'm not having it. I'm going to tweet about it and how I'm not going to have it.
They're mad at what they are ostensibly forced to learn.
They can't even keep up with textbooks to keep up with their technology themselves. So if they can't get a textbook printed for their printing press, how in the world can they teach world realities when they can't even get a book to say what the reality is?
So why are the kids going to university?
Not many are. And then you're judged by which school you went to. You can go to a bullshit college and get a bullshit degree and get a bullshit career.
What are the kids who aren't going to college doing?
Becoming successful.
At what?
Whatever they put their mind to. Whatever they allow into their experience. Look at your multimillionaires. 99% of them don't even have a degree.
We don't need to go into that, Terry.
Okay. Oh, well, that's the point. So, that's what you're talking about. Sorry.
So the people go into their labs and they work with studying this and studying that and get grants and write papers on what they're doing. Is there any truth to the DNA model that so much is based on?
44/100 of it is.
Why that number?
99/44/100 is it pure? Well, the 44/100 is. The rest isn't. It's all relative. It changes. It's like the wind's blowing.
Ion is pronouncing, and of course some people object to...
Good. Then there'll be contrast and they'll figure it out or not.
One of the objections to Ion is we don't have any reference to the things he's talking about.
They don't have any reference to the things they are talking about. They don't have any reference how science proves that this causes a problem until they say it causes a problem, and then it causes a problem. All we're saying is that the individual human creator embraces whatever reality that they'd like to sojourn. And when they sojourn in that reality, then that reality becomes their reality, and then it becomes real. And then the boogie man is under the bed. And then they have paranoid schizophrenia. And then they have all these problems. And then they have these abuses. And then they have this, well, nothing works, no answers, no questions, we're screwed, let's just go. Okay, and then they do.
Go with
they destroy economies, they destroy money. Next thing you know, wood furniture is going to cause problems. And so you got to get rid of all the wood furniture in your reality. What's the end of this road? Be happy.
So why are the icebergs melting? They're having dramatic footage of these big clumps of thing and this biggest melting going on. Is that a cyclical thing or it is a problem?
It's not a problem. All that's happened is the majority of the human creators said there's global warming. So the world has no choice but to warm.
And they had a movie made about it that reinforced it. So now the public is reacting against that. They're tired of that meme.
So now they're having more ice than they've ever had ever. Snowstorms in Las Vegas. Go figure. Snow in Miami. Unheard of.
As we present ION, ION Vox. Not with disrespect, but points out the nothingness, the vanity.
The frivolity of what you call real.
The frivolity of what's called, the triviality of what's called real, any aspect of real. And you'd be damn happy if a scientist proved you wrong.
Absolutely, because then we'd be.
You would be wrong.
Because you said earlier, what if people don't believe what you're saying? Then that's their place, and that's okay. That's fine. But then when science can't disprove that we aren't, then we must be, then it becomes something that you could learn about. Now you can take non-physical, what do you call it, psychophysics, what Fred Wolf is, the woo-woo physics. Hey, Bob, you know you've arrived when playing poker is now a profession.
Well, it's like gambling.
It is gambling. It's a profession.
Gambling was immoral 50 years ago. Now it bolsters local economies.
If you could win that bracelet and have, be on the World Poker Tour and be in Doyle Brunson's room, you've made it, you see. Well, that's hysterical. It'll be an Olympic event. I want a gold medal in Omaha.
Okay, within some point in the... I'm living forever. Let's say within 30 years...
You are. Whether you believe it or not, you are.
Yeah, so the... So I will survive the guff and remember who I was.
What do you mean survive?
I will remember who I was. In other words, all the lives I am going to be and have been are available now if I could allow myself to remember them all.
They are. Right. They are.
And I do remember them.
And you do remember them. And here's how you know that. Even the parts that you won't allow yourself to remember, that's how you know. Now, this is good. You never got it. Once again, here we go. The tail end of your Melting Titanium show, you brought us into a brand new place that you've never been before.
Right.
Here's how you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are and that you have been and that you will be. You get notions, which sometimes called hunches, or sometimes what people say, oh, he's a natural. You were able to extemporaneously carry on conversations for limitless hours on every topic. Do you understand? There aren't many PhD candidates that are able to do that. And you do it naturally. You don't even know how you do it. You don't care. You just do it. You don't understand digestion, but yet you do it most every day. That's how you know there's got to be something else going on, because science can't prove that you are participating and engaging in digestion. They just say shit happens. That's how they figure it out.
In 20 or 30 years, they may make copulation in Olympic sport. Will we see that?
Sure.
And it could already be happening.
Oh, yeah, you can go to Vanderbilt and take Orgasms 101.
Vanderbilt University?
Mm-hmm. Very scientific, very sick.
If we're talking about poker being an Olympic sport, it's a little strange from the perspective of a few years ago. Then the idea that people having erections for a long time and competing for gold medals and how many ejaculations they have, just like they eat hot dogs, will we get to that point in allowing that kind of behavior?
Well, you'll have to ask Sylvia Brown.
No, I don't want to ask her. We're asking.
Well, as sure as we say, yes, the world record orgasm is for a 6 foot orgasm that goes over his head. That's the world record champion. Then one says, no, I had an orgasm over a Greyhound bus. Or, you see, they'll undo it as quickly as they do it because it actually gets to be nonsensical. Almost so much as a foot race in which you've achieved when you break a four-minute mile.
I'm not sure what you were saying there. I know the four-minute mile point.
Sure as we
somebody ejaculated over, would claim they ejaculated the height over their body, 6'6", or over the Greyhound bus, right?
Yeah.
But the point is there's no point in me asking if we will see that as a sport in the Olympics.
It's up to you.
It's up to you, the humans, not me, everybody.
No, it is only you.
Why?
Because your world is the only world that matters.
So will I see it in my world?
Yeah, very good. Because there's lots of things that go on in the world that you don't know in your world. But there's lots of things that go on in your world that other people don't see.
But TV is a little more vaster. Everybody can see it.
For as long as it lasts. It's in trouble, you know.
Television is.
Yes, it is.
In what sense?
No more free TV.
Well, isn't Rupert Murdoch moving towards no more free internet?
Trying to.
Will he succeed?
No.
It's up to us.
No. Yes. No.
Yeah.
He won't succeed at that because there really isn't much free internet now. You have to have a provider and you have to pay for that provider.
Will he remove his, whatever he owns, news information from the internet?
Why?
I think he's suggesting that. He's going to remove all the stuff so people have to pay for it.
Bob, did you hear what we're saying? You don't have free internet.
Yeah, I know. So he's saying he's going to do something new, and it's made headline. He is going to remove his stuff unless people who use his news agency's information, you're going to have to pay for it, which they don't pay now.
All he'd have to do, and if that's a big enough rip, just like YouTube has been bought and trying to charge for their business because they're having to pay when somebody gets a half a million hits on something, then the same thing is true, that they're coming back to the place where they're like, well, if you're going to see the thing that everybody wants to see, supply and demand, then you have to subscribe.
That's what YouTube is moving towards.
Yes.
And they'll leave other parts, the non-popular stuff, for free.
Okay.
No, is that what you mean?
For free, but it's not for free. That's not
what you pay a little bit.
Okay, how much? You know, what is it, 10 cents a word, or how does that work?
I don't know, it's relatively free. You get to use all you want for a few bucks a month, okay? So
a few bucks a month?
They're threatening to raise the cost of one being on the internet.
A good high-speed internet connection, you don't know anything about this, because this is outside of you, but you might check with your bride to see how much you're paying.
Well, we pay $72 a month for phone, internet, and television, I guess, or something. I don't know. Phone and internet is all I know about. There's three things, so $72 a month. So, yeah, we're paying for it. It's not free.
You're paying for it whether you use it or not.
Yeah, and Murdoch is complaining and that he's going to do something to cost people. He's going to raise the cost.
He won't
pull that off.
Or if he does pull it off, then people will have a greater appreciation for their plastic boxes. Remember, the meme is you get what you pay for. Well, if you don't think that you're paying for anything, then you're not getting anything. So if you think you're having to pay for it, then guess what? You'll appreciate it more.
Right,
the value will be increased.
That's how they brought in pay TV, I assume.
Exactly right. And people have great more fun paying for it.
So why is TV in trouble?
TV's in trouble because you're going to get to a place where it will not be. TV will not be a body that is available to everyone.
You'll have to pay for it.
Yes.
You have to pay a lot more than people pay now.
And then what's going to happen is it's going, okay, we're paying $500 a month for all this technology. And we're not using but just a tiny little bit of it. So get rid of all the things that we're not going to watch. Okay? If you never watch the National Geographic station, why would you pay for that? So now it'll come to a menued process to where you'll only choose the stations that you want to see.
That'll solve TV's problem?
It'll cause a problem for TV because now you have all these thousands thousands and thousands of channels that nobody's watching, but they're for free. They're in your package that you're paying $500 a month for. Well, when you start having to pay more or getting into an outrageous position, then they're going to choose. They're going, okay, well, if you're going to charge, I don't watch this channel, I don't watch this channel, I don't watch this channel, I don't want to take this one off. I'm not paying for it. Take it away. Well, now what happens is you have back the way it used to be. You had three major television channels. That was it. And all the great shows had to be on those channels or they weren't. It was only when Ted Turner made you a superstation that brought you up to a place where you could actually watch TV in Chicago if you subscribed to a superstation. Okay? And so now it's to the place where you get to pick and choose. Well, that's come due in the TV body because now people are going to eliminate. They won't have a life. The TV body won't have a life. It'll be a subscription program. Well, when people have to subscribe for things that they're not watching, guess what? They'll choose not to. Then what's Logo going to do then if nobody's watching it? They have no money. Then they go away. Then they're done. Oh, and then they might be offended to have to watch commercials on TV that they're having to pay for. Okay, so now you lose your advertising budget, so whatever you've gained for people to not watch your show, it gets to be kind of like General Motors, Chevrolet. It kind of becomes old school after a second, doesn't it? They're on a very slippery slope, depending on how they want to handle this, because folks are having to work eight jobs to lose their houses. They don't have time to sit around and watch TV anyway, so they'll just get rid of TV altogether because they don't see any better or worseness in their world. So you're right. Charge the hell out of it because I'm not paying for it anyway. You see, my bananas are $4 a pound because I don't have any bananas. But it doesn't matter how much my bananas are. I don't have any to sell, so it doesn't matter how much you charge.
So who in the TV industry is worried? The major executives of the major networks are worried?
Yes, and the regular networks are worried. Mm. If you look at your major shows now, like NBC, ABC, those, people aren't watching those. Mm. They do some, but they're not watching those. They don't get their news there. If they don't have the hit, hit, hit show, they don't watch them. Then you have HBO that you pay for, but they have great shows. You have no commercials. They have on-demand. You can do all these fun things, and it's great. You don't have to figure out why Sally Field has osteoporosis and needs Boniva to make your life better. So if you're going to go at it that way, great. Run it that way. I'll pay for the parts that I want to see, and I'll let the rest of it go. So now you're done. Done. You can price yourself out of your own market when people figure out that they don't have to live with your reality.
When did they start getting worried? 2 years ago? 5 years ago?
Not long ago.
Within the past year?
Yes. And even your providers, that would be your satellites and your cable monstrosities, mm-hmm. those that are, that since they changed and people don't have rabbit ears anymore, since that's the case, they've noticed that when people have a shortfall or something gets tight, that's the first thing to go.
Cable, yeah.
Well, besides the manicure, pedicure, and meat coat storage, that's one of the first things to go. They're like, wait a second. I'm paying several hundred dollars a month for this, and I'm never home to talk on the phone, so I can just use my cell. They get rid of the home phone altogether. Well, that's incredible.
And the advertising has got screwed up over the past year. The ad companies aren't paying the TV. I guess there's still major corporations there, but they're just an illusion, I guess.
Then they spend as much money with the lawyers of how to sue DuPont because they made a bug spray that killed the bugs, but it also kills you. So
is anybody watching Diane Sawyer as the new news anchor on ABC Evening News?
Not so much.
They're not going to mention that, right?
No. They also weren't watching Charlie either.
That's why he left.
Yeah. So they even moved for Martha Stewart to 11 o'clock, and then Rachel Ray got her time slot, and that's why they had war lately.
I don't know Rachel Ray. What does she offer?
More than Martha Stewart, apparently. because I like to have blood.
Well, they moved Martha to 11 in the morning, you mean?
Yes.
And what time was she on before?
2 o'clock, prime time.
Well, why did they move her? Because no one was watching it, too?
Because more were watching Rachel Ray than Martha Stewart.
At the same time, at 2?
No, no, same show, same network. They moved Rachel Ray to the better time slot within the same NBC network.
And what time did she get, Rachel?
2 o'clock.
But Martha was on at 2.
Right, so they moved Martha to 11. Probably the hardest hour in the time slot. Oh, but that's 4 in the
morning. They're on the same network. How could they both be on at 2 in the afternoon?
They couldn't. That's why they moved Martha to 11.
Because Martha was at 2. What time was Rachel on?
3 o'clock.
3. She came after. And then she got more popular. So Martha's run her cycle, so time to leave.
And then she makes all these... Well, you saw the fight on your TV.
No, I didn't. I didn't know they fought. What did they... She got mad.
They about had war. Martha accused her of not having original recipes and all this kind of stuff. And you know what Rachel Ray said?
But
she said, of course not. There are no original recipes. I just like to have fun in the kitchen. I'm not here to invent cooking or reinvent cooking. I'm here just to have fun. And just took it real easy. Took it all in stride. Oh, yes, Martha, you're much more superior than I am. I just happen to have more people watching me than you. I got the very best I am from you. Thanks so much, and thanks for the fish.
Where's Rachel live?
She's from New York.
What was the big insight I got about 10 minutes ago? I brought us to a new place. Something about eternity, or what was it about? I brought us to a new place, and I can't remember that idea or that effect. I'm just asking, you can't remember it either. I got you there. You're going to say,
you
can't remember, just like
it
me.
It was nut pate.
No, was it?
Yes, it was. It was nut pate. You remember nut pate.
It's like I realized I was eternal, or there was no identity or something. Anyway, it was...
And why can't you remember, Bob?
Yes, I don't know.
But there you go.
I'm an ascended man, I guess. I don't rely on memory. Okay, we're going to have to wind down soon. So what is the people saying out there? Let's acknowledge the audience.
They're just rocking and reeling and laughing and having great fun with these nonsensical dynamics that are the meme of the moment. That mean about as much as the next meme of the tomorrow. The memes of tomorrow. So are the days
of our lives. What's nonsensical about what we're talking about? Isn't that nonsensical?
Well, we've talked about the refrigerated air giving you cancer.
Well, that was a good... That's true. That's people can believe that, right? Isn't it pointing
out? As much as asbestos can give you mesothelioma.
Same thing. So that led to the insight.
That's nonsensical to us.
That's nonsensical. And then you said, yes, the refrigerators will do something. So it's funny, but that's true. If the attention is put on it, it will cause a problem.
Earwax will cause you to go deaf.
Okay, so what else were they doing? They're laughing at that.
They're laughing and they're having a resounding frivolity with the deliciousness of them coming into their power. And as they come into their power, it starts to become silly. And you don't care what Mr. Murdoch does with the TV body. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It'll all flow to you freely and easily, but you want to, because most of it isn't worthy of your creation time anyway. But it's okay if you enjoy it and you want to bring that into your experience. You should be able to have that right, and you do. And they're coming into the place that this world really is their world. They can have, be, do, or have whatever they'd like to have, be, do, or have. Once you start wrapping yourself around that, you stop getting run around the maypole of what's right and wrong and real and unreal and remembered and unremembered and in and out and up and down and sinned and righteous and all that foolishness takes itself out of the way. This is what we came for, to remind you all day, every day, you have a meat sack. You have a non-physical. You have a mind. And if you somehow could get all three of those seamlessly together in an ascended state of cohesion, then what happens is you have all knowledge, all knowing, all can be within your grasp. So much so to the point that you get it. You don't even have to wonder. You don't even have to have the Wikipedia to validate your little senseless nothing notions. It's not required. You can just know, and you know. And then that's what you allow in your experience, and that's what you allow in your experience is your reality. Then that's your reality. Then you don't care what they're doing, when, who, what, when, and where, and why. That all goes away. Doesn't matter. Well, Bob's a free spirit. He can do whatever he wants to do. That's exactly right. Bless Sylvia Brown. That's our meme of the day. Bless her. And whether we agree or disagree, we're not going to spend one moment of reality judging what her words have to do with where you are in your place of disconnection. Bless her for bringing you to the place to even make you question. Great. It's very wonderful. So we bless her. Thank you, Sylvia, personally, for your ability and capacity to activate spiritual gifts in individual human creators. Because Sylvia could say, well, you know what? It's been a crapshoot for us, too. You know, we're just sort of hanging out here, and yeah, we've sort of been able to eat over this process. So maybe we're not so foolish. It's to be great fun. It's a great fun show. Be easy about all this. We make so much out of nothingness, where nothing becomes a big thing. That's the main point. That if we had to do this whole show in two sentences, relax and allow and get over yourself.
Okay.
Take your power and let it go.
With those words, we will move on. Oh, thanks again for listening to Melting Titanium, which we successfully did again.
These shows are getting great fun, and they're starting to notice that there is no time, because this is a one-hour show, and it starts to feel like 5 minutes.
And it goes 2 hours.
2 hours?
Yeah, we've done 2 hours and 12 minutes. We're going into 2.5 hours.
Oh, and one little picture that number one is trying to get through is barbecued chicken pop.
That's an image he's going to send us?
Apparently. He's trying to get it through. Barbecued chicken pops.
What are they, chicken pops?
We have no idea.
Okay, very good, Alan. Excellent. We have much work to do, so let's try to get some rest, take a refreshment. What is it? A moment of refreshment.
Yeah.
And we'll be back on the air again, broadcasting 24/7, because we love to play.
All day, every day. It's our great fun. Thanks again so much. We do appreciate your constant, unabridged attention, Bob, because you've been doing this longer than anyone now. You do understand there's no one on the planet in your recordable history that has had as many hours with non-physical as you now have. You just now surpassed the secretary of Edgar
Casey.
With their 14,000 readings.
Which many people participated, but only one, the secretary, was in the longest stretch of them, and I've just passed.
Not all of them. I mean, you just passed the number of hours.
I can announce that. We must announce that. How many hours have I done with non-physical?
You're just over 1,000 hours.
Wow. So when the secretary interacted with Edgar Casey, was that with the non-physical, or was he channeling an entity?
He was just channeling, not an entity. He was just channeling.
Yes. So he was a large.
Well,
not so much.
Not so much. It would be just outside of himself answering questions. And they were never more than an hour. And you had about 15 minutes worth of good, you know what I'm saying, of actual participation, 15 minutes an hour of actual interactions.
You mean Casey would take over the other 45 minutes as normal?
No,
mind?
The askers would take over the girth of it.
And they would stop Casey talking. They would translate and talk.
Human creators much prefer to hear themselves speak than not physical answer.
there's been all kinds of channeling going on through different aspects of human culture for centuries. No one, though, any, not the monks in Tibet or whatever bizarre phenomenon we haven't, I don't know about. Nobody has in
it. Of Nostradamus.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time, right, talking to the non-physical. So no one has reached over 1,000 hours. So we have a world record on December 29th. That's pretty good.
And so much so as the actual attributable words of tip-tapping.
Yeah, the number of words on top of it that was said.
Of course.
Because Ian speaks probably faster than what came through Casey.
Much, yeah.
And also, maybe not, we haven't probably broached the range of topics that are in the 14,000 hours, but we have covered the broadest range of the perennial questions, probably. The larger questions. I don't know. I mean, can we say that we did a broader range of topics than Casey?
Not quite yet. He was all over the place. But if you start doing it that way, then you'd have to encapsulate everyone who ever asked a question. Now, you may be the one who's asked the most questions on the varied topics as an individual one-time through, but not if you take the words of Edgar Casey. From everyone who had asked a question, then that's way very different.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of different personal users, content, as McCool would say, questions.
Yes. But if one person had that many sessions with Edgar Casey and did as much as you covered, that would take his whole life's work.
If one person did as many hours as I did and asked as many questions in that time...
Yes, that would be as many questions as Edgar Casey answered all along.
I've asked that many questions, is what you're saying.
With his 14,000 readings.
So let's say there was 500 questions. I've done the 500 questions.
Oh, yeah. And then beat them to death and then figured out what the prepositions were.
Yeah, then forgotten and continued.
Again.
But you're saying that maybe... There was only 2,000 questions asked of Casey.
Well,
something like that. And make a number 2,000. And I've asked 2,000 is what you're saying.
Oh, and then so.
So the most questions, I've asked the most questions.
But he could have been asked 1,000 times, who is my soulmate?
Right.
Or who's going to win in the seventh race?
We're only counting that as one question.
Right, exactly.
A variety of questions I've equaled.
Yeah. That's what you're asking, a variety of topical conversation. And we've only had one answer, which is relax and allow.
But there are many words, many viruses, memes that you filter and apply it to. It's the ratios.
Yeah. And then what's important and what's not, and how to apply the difference thereof.
So I was thinking today, I think in the water, I said, I wonder how much I've changed. If someone asked me, have you changed, Bob?
Absolutely. You can't imagine, Bob.
Yeah.
You can now utter in totality the theory of unrelativity.
I've acquired a vibration with ion.
Wait, you just listen to how you catch yourself where you used to didn't give any attention.
Yeah.
Now you're very prescriptively focused on dimensions of topical application.
Yeah, I'll give you an example.
Words.
I was just telling Carol today that in session 35, Ion's talking about Abraham, and then we get into Adam. We're talking about how many descendants there were of Abraham as he looked at the stars and told that he had as many descendants of the stars. And at one point, Ion says, if you track it back from Abraham to us, like Abraham to us, that's like Abraham, it's the opposite. He's in the future. So then Ion said that Adam was the last human. So Adam was where we all end up. Not necessarily where we came from. And then you can break that down because we don't know what direction anything is.
Where you came to.
And we would think we came from Adam.
That
no, that's what I'm thinking about. That's an example. We would normally say we came from Adam, but no, Adam is where we came to. That statement said back then, I would say, I only got that backwards, you know.
They Lord, suffering cats, non-physical, you screwed it up again.
Yeah.
And you go, well, give it a few thousand hours, Bob, and let's see how you feel about it. Low like a rose, he froze.
So I noticed the language of Ion in May 10th this year I didn't even notice it, but if I had noticed, I would have argued with it. But now I can see, well, I was learning, can see how it could make sense what Ion was saying. So I'm noticing Ion saying things that are very clear to me, but weren't clear then.
They flow. So if you ever find yourself unconscious, that's where you know you'll come to.
Yes, where is it?
Adam.
I will come. Oh, Adam, I will come. Okay. I will come.
That's where you wake up. That's where you come to. Is it Adam?
Yeah, because you realize everything at that point.
If you're unconscious and you come to, that's where you come.
Okay.
Now, that's an orgasm.
I think there must have been mediumship with the Tibetan monks, and they passed on their legacy to the next Dalai Lama and all that.
There was non-physicalness. Let's say it that way. That's the better way to say it. There was non-physicalness with the Dalai Lama. These spiritual gifts were enlightened. They were embraced. There's no mystic with this.
But wait a minute. I'm talking about me interacting lengthwise. I want to get this precise.
Okay.
Time-wise, most hours with non-physical. Is that because I'm the only individual? There were many hours with the non-physical in the Tibetan monasteries, but those individuals only did maybe 50 hours total in their life, so to speak.
In their whole life. You had the most evergreen readings, and that was what, all of 50 hours or what
64,
was it?
64 hours. George Reynolds had more, but I had a lot. I had a lot of their clientele, yes.
Great.
64
great.
Hours.
And that took you how many years?
24 years.
Okay, now that'll give you. And you were the best at it.
Yes.
And it took you 24 years to get 64 sessions.
Yes.
Wow. That spread things up a bit, haven't you?
So that's the record.
Probably got more out of the first 10 sessions than you did in all total with your Michael Blake Reed.
Maybe in retrospect, yeah.
Well,
no, I don't know. Maybe it took a few months because we had to get to the parallel worlds and.
You got it in the first little dabs. Now you're looking back and going, wow, I didn't even know what I got.
Oh, yeah, on that level. That's true. I didn't know.
Well, of course.
I didn't know.
Of course.
That's why I'm still doing it. I have to make sure I got it. That's what I do. I want to know every particular 1,000 hours worth.
Is that just beginning?
That's right. So that's just 9 months, birth of a baby. So this record, that's in the phenomenon of talking with non-physical. Ascended man interacts with non-physical, you know, forever, eternally.
And well, see, that's the fun. And that's where we're trying to get to, is to get you to a place where you don't have to ask Ion or Sylvia Brown, you know.
But JW seems to want to keep channeling, so we're here to...
No. That's not the point. The point is that once you ascend, then you have somebody to play with. My stars, to have ascended beings that are playing with ascended beings, you just doesn't get any better.
So who do
I do 1,000 hours a day.
Oh, you mean JW is looking to have an ascended being to play with?
Absolutely. Have ascended beings to play with, then you don't have to go get a money job to get a money check. You've got money.
Yes.
Great. You don't have to pine for it. You have it. So it's delicious. And then you can just create. Play with something, engage it, create. Allow it to come into your experience. That was fun. Now, what else? I'm perfectly happy where I am and ready for more. And then more and more and more. And then how much more? All of it. Well, I don't want it all now. I want it all over time. Uh-oh, here's time again. Well, I want to enjoy it, and then I'll forget it, and then I'll get it again, and then I'll appreciate it, and then I'll start appreciating this refrigerated air.
Very good. Let's end on that point.
Very wonderful. We will see you today.
Thank you a lot. And thank you, audience.
Yes, indeed.